Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 123, a tribute to Richard Savatsky and Saul Waring, two friends and fellow artists. This month, two longtime friends passed away, and both of them were in a similar situation where I knew for a while that they were kind of hanging on, and fortunately was able to see them before they passed, and to do it in a way that felt, complete, a sense of completion and knowing that it was possible. So I'm thankful for that, and it's just gonna read and talk about them as a tribute to them and their lives and part of the legacy that they leave with this earth. This is your host, Monk. Thanks for listening. For this show, paying tribute to a dear friend who passed away earlier in the month, Richard Savatsky. He was in the VA nursing home for about 10 years. He had MS, multiple sclerosis. When I first met him, I think he maybe had a cane, and then he went to a walker, a wheelchair, sort of progressively got worse, but all through it all, he kept his amazing sense of humor and just a wonderful-hearted person, strong spirit. I remember one time sitting on the floor at his apartment, and he was in a wheelchair, and I felt like I was sitting at the feet of some holy man. Whatever sadness I feel is assuaged by knowing that he is. He is free of the bounds of his wheelchair and the MS and all that stuff. So I want to pay tribute. His was the first book solely devoted to another author that I published with All Book Books. Endorphin Brigade, Fruits, Vegetables, and My Journey with MS by Richard Savatsky. He was a poet, an artist, a retired engineer, as well as a lover of humanity, the animal kingdom, and the universe. He was born in Brooklyn in 1942. And Let's see the rest of his bio here. His first love was Thea in fourth grade. He went to junior high and Brooklyn Technical High School. He graduated from Polytechnic Institute of Brooklyn with a BS in aerospace engineering. MBA at Adelphi University. He worked for the U.S. Navy for 1 year, 63 to 64. In Maryland and served in the Army 1964 to 66, working with the Mohawk Project Manager's Office. After completing tour with the Army, Richard worked for Grumman Aerospace Corporation and Grumman International for over 20 years. He was a staff member for Performance Poets Association for many, many years, and that's how we met, was through the Performance Poets Association. And knowing him, he had a great sensitivity to the native peoples and to the reality of what's going on with this planet. And so reminded me not to label people just because, say, I didn't talk to him much about, you know, his feelings about working for Grumman Aerospace. You know, they're one of the big weapons manufacturers. But, maybe he had a change of feeling since then. I did talk to him briefly, but I really don't remember what was said. In any case, that's beyond the point now. The point is now to tribute to him. And I'm going to read just a little bit from my foreword to the book and some from his introduction to the book and then some of his poems. Before I met Richard, I read his poem Flying Island and knew that this was someone I had to meet. I'm fascinated by anyone who can give an overview or a higher perspective about what's gone on and is going on here on Earth and in that poem locally on Long Island. And when we did meet, I was not disappointed. He gave a talk on poetry, a survey of great works in which he emphasized the brother and sisterhood of all beings. To hear someone connect the dots in such fashion was refreshing because it revealed the continuing thread that runs through all true poetry. Oh, by the way, this book was published 2006, continuing with the foreword. Along with being thankful for his friendship, I also make note that Richard's journey reminds and teaches people that, as wondrous as the physical body is in all its forms, human, fruit, vegetable, or otherwise, it is the mind and spirit that can venture farther, even if the physical body is limited. Although I'm not the one in his shoes dealing with the day-to-day difficulties of MS, I do not consider Richard as having a dis-ease, rather as being a strong spirit with a bright soul who happened to be, for whatever reason, struggling with the accentuated limitations of his physical form. Along with many humorous poems, this collection serves as encouragement to us all to keep on keeping on, or as one of Richard's poems says with metaphorical applicability to anyone, I just keep rolling my wheelchair forward. And the next page or so is Richard's introduction. When I was younger, I didn't look as old as I was. Now that I'm older than I want to be, I still look younger than I am. Some things never change. Except I have MS and I'm losing my hair. I've had multiple sclerosis for 34 years. Those who also have it can understand. I started with a cane, went to a walker, and then wound up in a wheelchair. Not counting the extras I either started with or picked up along the way, like muscle spasms, occasional double vision, sleeplessness, etc. It's now time for a change. Time for the good. We want to go to Mars now. We've got the technology to do it, but we don't have a cure for MS. So what do you want to do? Cry? No. You do what Norman Cousins did. He laughed himself, along with large doses of vitamin C, out of his disease. And if you're healthy, laugh anyway. How do you do it? See funny movies. Listen to tapes or DVDs with Sid Caesar, Peter Sellers, Milton Berle, Benny Hill, Red Skelton, Rodney Dangerfield, Woody Allen, and others. See tapes or TV with Jackie Mason or the hilarious Robin Williams. You can read a funny book. You can also read my humble offering. I don't want to be presumptuous that I guarantee a solution for what ails you, but I do guarantee a shot at some humor. If you don't care for it, it's a free country. When you laugh or chuckle, several things happen. First, laughter diverts your mind off the constant buzz of depressing news we get every day. Second, laughter activates a chemical change in your body. Hormones called endorphins are activated in the brain. Endorphins reduce stress and pain as well as cause a euphoric effect. If endorphins are secreted continuously, they spread and make the body healthier. Endorphins also enhance our immune system, improve the circulation of blood, have an anti-aging effect, and help improve your memory. Endorphins are a divine gift to human beings. Through laughter, let's generate many of them. Let's start with a brigade of endorphins. And we'll start with the first poem in the book, Green. The color of life, chlorophyll, life's stuff on earth. Green leaves and grass, green plants and veggies, photosynthesis working, green force with us, green money, dark side stuff, the root of evil, ego's catalyst. If you're green with envy, ego is working. Relax, have green tea. And he was well known, famous on the poetry scene for his fruit and vegetable poems. A whole bunch of poems told in the voice of various fruits and vegetables. This is arugula, the nice vegetable. I'm the green guy in the tray calorie three-color salad. I'm healthy and so are my purple and white cousins. Radicchio is from Italy like me and Endive from Belgium. Radicchio is purple, no wonder he's emotional. Endive is white, but he's got an ego problem. He thinks he's as pure as the driven snow. Radicchio and Endive don't think they're here to be eaten. They think they're too pretty for consumption. Except me, arugula, I'm here to be consumed. I'm not like my cousins. They're here for their egos, not your stomach. Just get your tray calori salad before it's off the menu. That's what would happen if I was overthrown by those two. People have enough problems. Who needs aggravation from vegetables? Banana, the perfect fruit. Don't listen to what those other fruits are telling you. Banana, that's me. I'm the world's most perfect fruit. My Latin name is Musa Acuminata. Probably seen in Rome back in 64 BC when I got famous, not only do I generate more sales today than apples or oranges, I'm a cultural icon, and many mob Goombas are named after me. Remember the famous Joe the Banana Scapinata? He's known to his friends in Brooklyn as Joey Banana. How about Chiquita Banana, remember her? I heard she slipped on her peel. I have many culinary delights in banana bread, cake, and pudding. Haven't you bananas ever heard of the banana split? If you say no, don't drive me bananas and get mad. I could get even and send you to a banana republic. And broccoli, the queen vegetable. You know me, I'm Queen Broccoli. No one has florets like me. No one has my sex appeal. I offer you health, supreme. George Bush Sr. hates me. He's the one that prefers pork rinds. Need I say more? I am the vegetable green tree, around for 2,000 years, the highest fiber content of the vegetable world. I am so great, I'm a miracle, you see? The mob likes me, it showers me with garlic and olive oil, that brings out my beauty. But please don't coat me with that hollandaise sauce or butter. I can't stand being suffocated with those dairy products. I break out in a green rash and it gives me a false luster. Have you ever seen what broccoli with hives looks like? When you bite into me, steamed, you're biting into health. Just don't use dairy goop. It makes my stock crawl. The hell with business, it's strictly personal. Broccoli Rob, the ignored vegetable. There she goes again, my cousin, Miss Broccoli, Miss Big Shot. Why are you laughing at me? Don't you know who I am? I'm Broccoli Rob, Broccoli's older, wiser, and yes, more bitter cousin. Why am I bitter, you ask? Well, I'll tell you why I'm bitter. Nobody pays attention to me. Wouldn't you be bitter, too? I give equal health benefits with that macho taste, something else she can't match, that puffed-up queen. Look at her, wrapping herself around that spinach, seducing him with her florets. Well, in my own circles, I have many friends, especially in the mob. If she doesn't behave, I could take out a contract on her. No, I really wouldn't. She's family. A brat, but I love her. Problem is, too many people love her, and this popularity has gone to her cute head. She needs to be taken down a couple of stalks. I'd call George Bush, the former president. He hates broccoli, and I'm sure this will slow her down. Meanwhile, what about me? I think I need a girlfriend for a change. I really get turned on when that Parmesan cheese sprinkles herself all over me. I need to pay attention to myself for once. Broccoli can wait a while. There's only so much family aggravation a vegetable can take. And here's one, some of the poems are more serious, talking about his MS, but pretty much I think always with a, amazingly positive attitude. This is called Life Balance. MS broke my physical medium. It skewed my operational flow. My goal is sublime equilibrium that refuses to accept no show. It's when my eyes see double and my legs refuse to comply. When constipation embraces incontinence, I get pissed off but never say die. I know they don't have a cure, but steroids and toxic cocktails are fun. The AMA will continue to play until the placebos complete their run. The answer only my inner self will show when I realize my life is unique. My divine nature will correct the flow as my spirit outlasts my physique. And here's another, Richard was not afraid to take on the political topics. This is called Get Real, Ode to Dick Cheney. When you look in the mirror, are you so full of yourself that you're wider than the width and as high as God? You need deflation. 1 year at the Mother Teresa school, feed the homeless, have an elite enema and a superior colonic, you'll be humbled. And here's the poem I mentioned earlier, the first thing I read of his work that had me interested to meet him. Flying Island. Washington lost his first battle near Jamaica, Queens. Colonials pushed across and up Manhattan to Fort Washington, over to Fort Lee, Jersey, and down, boating the Delaware to PA. They were times that tried men's souls. The war turned at Trenton. Flash forward, Lindbergh left Roosevelt Field for Paris. Howard Hughes, Jimmy Doolittle, and Amelia Earhart schmoozed in, out, and around island airports while Grumman in Bethpage, Republic in Farmingdale, plus island others went west and east to help win the war. Einstein, a neighbor, helping cross the Hudson at Princeton. Apollo's LM left Bethpage for 6 moon landings. Macadam of Roosevelt Field covering footsteps, tire tracks and wings of courageous and anxious souls, while ignorant buyers buy, unaware of sacred ground. Walt Whitman turns over in his grave, see his 110 Mall. Ask the Canarsie, the Shinnecock, or the Puspatak Indian. They were here before we went asphalt and concrete crazy, one long runway from Brooklyn to Montauk Point. And he had done some traveling. This was one of his poems to show his poetic versatility, really. As Cariocas, people of Rio. Hot ocean breeze off the Atlantic flows over me, humid and sexy. Tan nubile bodies in tanga, tanning on Copacabana Beach. The summer sun sears Rio hot. Mukumba scares evil spirits. Drink cold Brahma chop beer. The people are sexy. Dancar na praia Ipanema. Dance on Ipanema Beach. The drums, bongos, whistles, the tanga as mulattas, the samba beat, samba dancers from the favelas, the slums above. Snake down my street in Leblon, dancing and singing samba, poor but happy, living joy, eating people food, arroz con feijo, rice and beans. The people are sexy. Portuguese rolls and flows, evading obstacles and edges. The people flow, Pele flowed, Pele esta primero. Get penicillin, no prescription, no AMA. The druggist flows, drink cold, Brahma chop beer. The people are sexy. Muito obrigado. Thank you very much. Well, that's feels like a good place to stop. Thank you, Richard Savosky, for your being and putting together and writing these poems and sharing some of your story. And not only the poems, but just the way he carried himself, the way he the years I went to visit him, sometimes with a friend to go to the VA, and he was always had a smile and a strong handshake, and you know, he was always glad to see me, supported me, and asked about what I was doing. Asked about people he had met years ago. Was just a real gracious and kind and gentle, caring type of person that, you know, just a real treasure. So he'll be missed, but, you know, like I said, I'm glad that he's out of his physical limitation struggles, and hopefully sucking on some nectar of the gods. So if anyone's interested, I do have a few extra of these books laying around, so if you want to read the rest of the poems, just send me an email. And once again, a tribute to Richard Savosky, wonderful human being, a good friend, and a fine artist. He also did visual art and a bunch of paintings up. Actually, the last time me and a friend went to see him at the VA, there was a small exhibit at the VA, and one of his paintings was up, and I took a cell phone photo of it, so that's a treasure now. As Richard said, make time to laugh and kick those endorphins into high gear. Now, the second person to for the tribute is a longtime family friend, Saul Waring. He was friends with my dad. They did business together back in my troubled teens. I wasn't like literally ready to kill myself, but I was, you know, those troubled teen years, I was, I guess, what I would call semi-suicidal, depressed, whatever. And my dad sent me to Saul's office, and Saul was a storyteller, in that sense, an artist of life. And he told me a story that went on for, I don't know how long, it could have been 10 minutes, it could have been 20 minutes, about a guy who had gone to talk to a friend and told him he was thinking of committing suicide. And the friend says, look, let me ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to do something that you've never done before? Like travel to Africa or hike a mountain or write a book or tell somebody to fuck off or go have sex with someone you've always wanted to but were too afraid to admit it and just tell them? And this kind of story went on and on and on and on, and eventually the guy says to the friend, well, now you've made it impossible for me to ever kill myself. So it's I think of that story that some level was a turning point for my life, and it makes my memories of Saul be a real testament to the l'chaim, to life, and what we are here to be and to do. First chat book that all books published before it was even officially a business, registered with the county and all that, was a little chat book called Spiral of Life. And had written a poem back then. I'll read that one as a tribute to Saul, which was the poem was to try and sum up the feeling that I, the lesson that I got from his little story about life and how there's always something to appreciate. And it's called You Are Not Alone, Song of Saul. There is edible asparagus and crisp lettuce and thick, soft heads of broccoli and a strawberry dimpled and juicy and a sunrise you haven't yet seen and tongue and groove pine walls varnished and the smiles of birds and dolphins and friends who are there even when you can't see them and the invisible aromas of flowers and roads lined with trees and dreams and someone you've always wanted to love and always a home where you stand. And also, because I, for many, many years, have sent a daily haiku email called Haiku du Jour, not just mine at all, but a ton of modern writers and Japanese classics translated into English. But occasionally people who don't really, you know, write will just catch a buzz and send a haiku. So another book, A Haiku, One Breath, A Voice Through a Tangle, which is an anthology of various writers. And Saul had sent me a haiku once in, I think once, maybe more, but once, that I took note and I put that, included that in the book. And first I'll read the little bio, Saul's bio, because that'll put the haiku in context. Retired advertising person, aspiring golfer, member of unique pro bono consultancy to nonprofit charities, neo haiku aficionado. The pro bono consultancy, when he retired, and him and a bunch of friends started a place, rented an office space, and it was called the Sagency, a nice portmanteau on agency and, some sage advice where people could go. And, I visited there many, many times to say hello and just to chat. And, a lot of times with, whether personal or talking about my writing and career type of stuff. So that place and Saul were a guide to me, and the place itself is just an inspiration. It reminds me that, no matter what age, when you have people that you love and friends, and you can, you can get together and create a space and have a good time together and hang out with each other and continue to be of service to other people at no matter what age. So I'm thankful to him and all the sages for that. So here's Saul's haiku. Summer deluge, golfers splashing on fairways and on greens. Summer deluge, golfers splashing on fairways and on greens. And Richard was also is also in this book, and noticing his bio, want to add that at one point he had two cats, and Richard was also a painter, and so his two cats were named Magritte and Miro. So that says a lot. You know somebody's into something when they name their pets after that. And Richard's two haiku are both, there's a section of poems on autumn season, and two of Richard's are in that section. Fall is here, a squirrel's jaw stuffed with acorns. Fall is here, a squirrel's jaw stuffed with acorns. Particularly like the way that word stuffed is such a long word, and it's sort of technically one syllable, but it seems to go on forever. And it's the accentuation point of the poem, stuffed with acorns. And the other one by Richard, wet, foggy forest shedding leaves, a crow's caw, echoes change. Wet, foggy forest shedding leaves, a crow's caw, echoes change. So, it is a time of change. It's a time of change, when whether with relationships change or people move on and their lives echo on and on. So many blessings to Richard and Saul wherever they may roam in the cosmos, in the metaphysical spheres, and may all their family and friends and those whose lives they touched also be blessed. Thank you for listening. Take care and be well. And we're going to go out with a humorous, with a comedy sketch. Some of it you'll miss the visuals, but most of it carries through pretty good with the lines. And at the end of it, they bring out some food, and it's sort of like when you go to the store and buy the potted plants for the yard. They're in the trays, so it's kind of like that. And so I love to eat out at city restaurants. And Richard, of course, the connection with the fruits and the vegetables. So this is a back in the early TV days. It's on YouTube called Health Food Restaurant with Sid Caesar, Imogene Coca, Howard Morris, and Carl Reiner.
I don't know, Doris. Doris, why did you take me here? What is this? I don't know what you took me here for.
Oh, Charles, don't be so stubborn. You're going to love this restaurant.
Well, you know, love, I'm hungry. I want to eat a good dinner, and you take me here. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to eat here. I mean, but what is it, the Vitality Health Food Kitchen? What is there to eat here? I don't know.
This happens to be one of the finest restaurants in New York. They serve only health foods here. The meals are all highly vitaminized and planned by a dietary specialist.
Yeah, but I mean, what about
good health to you, madam?
Good health to you.
Good health to you, sir.
And good health to you.
I'll have a table in just a moment.
Yes. Health to you. What was that? Good health to you. Doris, I don't want to eat here. Let's not experiment, huh? I'm hungry now. I don't want to experiment. If I eat someplace else, maybe I'll experiment with you. But look, why don't we go to Pepito's, huh? We can get those nice spiced snails, you know, and then we can get those hot tamales with the red sauce, and then we can have some more snails, and then we can have some pickles with the hot mustard, and we can have the spiced sausages, you know? After all, why take chances with your stomach? I don't know.
That's just the trouble with you, Charles, stuffing all that poison in your stomach. One meal here, and you see how much better you'll feel. One meal, that's
Look,
right.
I don't want to feel better after a meal. I want to feel full. Now, if I go to Pepito's and make a meal after the meal, it's... What? I know I ate.
Now, you're going to thank me for bringing you here. These dietetic foods add years to your life. They give you vim and vigor. Look.
What?
See that couple over there, right there on the side?
Which one? The dough?
Right there.
Yeah.
They have been eating here for years. Now, how old would you say he is?
Maybe around 28, 29 years old.
84.
You mean the guy with the crew haircut?
Mm-hmm.
84 years old. Boy, kept himself in good shape, I'll say that. It turned out all right, too. Look at the young chick with him.
That's his mother.
The Italian boy haircut, that's the mother.
Your table is ready now.
Oh, thank you very much. Charlie!
Well,
Charlie Hickenlooper.
Mr. Fleming, how are you?
Nice
sir?
To see you.
Fine. Mr. Fleming, I don't think you've met my wife.
Oh, well, how do you do, Mr. Dickens?
Mr. Fleming, yeah. What are you doing here, Mr. Fleming?
Oh, well, a very good friend of mine has been eating here for years and suggested that I try it, so I thought I would.
Well, that's a coincidence. I'm eating here for the first time also.
Is that so?
Yes, Doris took me.
Well,
enjoy your meal. Very nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Where do you know Mr. Fleming from?
I always see him eating at Pepito's. He's been eating at Pepito's for about, years now.
Oh, nice old man.
23.
Good health to you, madam. Good health to you, sir.
Good health to you.
And good health to you. Good health.
I'll be with you in a moment.
Well, I hope the food is good, because I'm starved.
Well, let's dig in.
What's the matter with you? People look at you, it's not nice. I mean, bet you wait till the waiter comes.
Charles, these are health food hors d'oeuvres. They're the blossoms of the polapaka plant.
The palahookawata?
The polapaka plant. They're loaded with sodium oxide. Very good for your ankles. Try one. And if you like them, I'll get a bouquet. We'll keep them around the house for snacks.
That'll be good.
Did you like it?
Oh, boy! Look, Doris, the next time we go out... Next time we go out, we'll eat separately. I'll eat at Pepito's, and you can eat at the Botanical Garden somewhere.
Taste for these things, darling. Where do you taste the other dishes?
Your menu? Did you enjoy your palapakas?
Oh, delicious.
The palapakas, yeah.
Vegetable protein derivative. Yeast extract, low sodium manganese salad. I can't make up my mind. Everything sounds so yummy. What are you going to have, Charles?
I don't know. What would you suggest, Doctor?
Well, how about a nice vitamin B1, B2, B3, C, D, and H dinner for two? It's very nice.
Oh, that sounds like too much for me.
Yeah.
I'll just have the homogenized bone meal, wheat germ, and a side order of glucose.
I'm sorry, madam, but glucose doesn't come with the wheat germ. I could let you have protose.
Oh, I don't like
throat toast.
Have you any Flurtoast?
Not on Fridays. No Flurtoast on Fridays. How about a nice dish of Ceratoast?
All right, I have Ceratoast with the birch bark dressing.
Certainly. Birch bark. One Ceratoast with birch bark dressing, and you, sir?
I'll have an elm tree on rye. You serve them here. I know that, yeah. Well, I don't know. What would you suggest I have?
Well, how about a nice penicillin pudding?
Penicillin pudding? Yeah. You set it with a hypodermic or you take it nasally? What do you do?
Darling, why don't you have a steak?
Steak? Sure, where? Where's the steak?
Right there.
Steak-o. A Vitality steak made of broccoli germ, asparagus gluten, carrot dextrose, and celery.
And with that, you get two vegetables.
Oh, I need them very much.
It looks like real steak.
Look, I don't want anything that looks like real steak. I want real steak. When I have to pay for it, I have to pay for it with real money. So if I want a steak, I have to pay for it with real money. I want a real steak.
But they don't serve meat here.
Well, then let's go somewhere else. Maybe. Hey, what is he eating? I'll have that spaghetti. I'll have that, yeah.
That's not spaghetti, sir. That's spaghetti. Cabbage extract and cauliflower derivative. It looks like spaghetti, so we call it spaghetti.
Well, I'll have a veal kitlet with some ravioli on the side.
One veal kitlet and one ravioli.
You save it? Yeah, yeah.
You go with the pussy willow dressing?
Yeah, bring the pussy willows with the ravioli. Well, pussy willows with the ravioli. Look, I hope this food is good, dear, because I'm really starved.
Keep an open mind, Charles.
Yeah. Well, I'm